Thank you. Thank you, everybody. My name is Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. And I am excited to be here. I'll be here the next couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully I will see you guys the next couple weeks. I'm excited, too, because I was very much someone who got sober with a big book sponsor. It was funny. I was thinking about how I could share my, the solution of recovery outline in the big book. And I was thinking about my experience. And, it was funny. The first time I was asked to read the big book, I didn't get very far. I got one or two paragraphs in, and I remember just throwing it on my bed and just being like, how is this going to help me at all, And then I wanted an effect that was as quick as alcohol, And reading a couple pages of a book did not give me that. So it did not work quick enough for me. So I decided that it wasn't for me. And then fast forward a couple years later, and I'm not doing so good. I'm in a lot of pain, and I get asked to read the big book again. And second time asked to read the big book, I also don't get very far. And I remember my sponsor asked me, what did you think of the doctor's opinion? Because that was the first thing that he asked me to read. And I said, oh, it was great. And he said, oh, yeah? He said, oh, yeah? He said, well, can you summarize it for me? What were your key takeaways from it? And I said, oh, the doctors love AA. And he said, did you read this, Ryan? I said, no. And he said, you know, I'm going to explain something to you. And he's like, if you don't do this stuff, he's like, you're going to get nothing out of it. He said, I'm going to be fine. My life will not change at all. I won't even be offended. But if you do not do it, you will get nothing out of it. And that, like, really resonated with me. I was so just used to trying to find a quick fix to make me feel better. And I was used to just getting something out of everything I did. So just to hear, like, this is for you, was really motivation for me to actually read the book. And then he said, we're going to read this book together. And we read the whole book line by line, and we took the actions outlined in it. And it's funny, I'm getting ahead of myself, because I think since I have a decent amount of time to talk, I'm going to qualify just a little bit and then kind of talk about the first couple steps today, and then pick up next week. We'll see. I'm planning stuff, but who knows what will actually happen. But it was funny, the first time I drank enough to actually do something, I drank vodka, and I took a couple shots, and I remember exactly how it felt. I was with a group of kids who were a little older than me, and I remember just that feeling that came over me, of just all those negative emotions, like fear and anxiety, and am I cool enough to be hanging out with these kids? Would it be, should I? Is it like cool for me to talk? Like I was just such a nervous kid, and I remember I took these couple shots of vodka, and I just remember like whoosh, that was out the window. The way I felt changed completely. It did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. It made me feel a way that I wanted to feel, and I chased that. And alcoholism was progressive for me. It started off as partying, and then at the end, it wound up with me drinking in the morning to stop, to stop from shaking, And I always chased that feeling of just feeling comfortable in my own skin, of feeling socially lubricated, of feeling good, And I very rarely got to exactly the place I wanted to be for very long. You know, I used to get it for a little bit and then drink too much, and I used to try and not drink enough and get upset. And I found that, you know, that I like to drink for the effect, and I did that, and the first consequences I really experienced was when I was in my first year in high school, and I had been arrested a couple times for drinking. And Mark told me not to tell too many war stories, but I got a decent amount of time, so I'll tell y'all a little bit of how much a drunken mess I was even as a child. And I remember, you know, I had a bit too much to drink, and I was stumbling home, and I opened up a parked car like a block or two away from my house, and I just took a nap in the back seat. And you know, the Cranford Police Department did not take very kindly to that. The guy called the cops and was like, "There's a drunk kid in my back seat," and it was like, you know, they came, got me out of there, and, you know, drove me home and gave me a ticket. And it was like the second or third time I got arrested that month for very similar reasons, you know, either being drunk in public or being drunk and causing problems. And it's funny, you know, for a long time I was mad at the guy who called the cops. You know, I said, why did this guy just not wake me up? You know, and we'll talk about that a little bit more when I talk about the four step, where I learned a little bit to take accountability for my actions, because at that point in time, I just thought I had a couple too many to drink. I thought it was that guy's fault, and, you know, I just had no accountability for my actions at all. But the only reason that's really significant is because it brought me to AA. And my first experience with AA was because I had to go for the court and for my school. And I remember thinking, you know, I had a couple too many. I was in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and just I didn't have a problem. And, you know, at that point, I just wasn't willing to even look at my actions, you know. And then fast forward a couple years, you know, and I am willing to admit that I have a problem, you know, but I'm not willing to admit that I need to do anything else but besides stop drinking, you know. And I tried it, you know, and two things would happen when I would stop drinking. Either I would make it a little while, and then I would find myself drinking again. With you know, just how did that happen, you know? Or I would find something that frustrated me so much that I would feel the need to drink to try and change the way I felt, you know? So it would end in one of those two. And the reason those are significant is because in order to do the first step, you know, which is to admit you're an alcoholic and your life is unmanageable, I think you have to have that experience of trying to stop and learning internally what powerlessness feels like, you know? Because for me, after that, I would tell myself almost every day, I'm going to stop drinking, you know? And then at some point, I would wind up drinking, you know? I would just convince myself that I would stop tomorrow, you know? Or I would, you know, figure out, or I would drink less this time, or I would figure out a way to make it work. And every time, what happened was that I would drink too much, and I would wake up the next day, and I would repeat the cycle, you know? And what happened was, because of lying to myself and constantly letting myself down and all this stuff, I think it had a very negative impact on me, you know, and I think my mental health started to just deteriorate, you know, myself of self-worth started to deteriorate, you know? And this happened consistently, you know, over a period of a couple years. And I started to feel more consequences. You know, I failed out of school. I was attending Rutgers University. And I just couldn't get to class every day, you know. And I got fired from jobs in machine shops, you know, and I would try to make it till the end of the shift to not, you know, to drink. You know, I'd say I'm going to make it till the end. And then before I knew it, I was drinking about halfway in, you know, and I was falling asleep in compressor rooms and shooting pieces across the shop and working heavy machinery while intoxicated and just, you know, I was calling out, you know, I'd still come by to pick up my paycheck, you know. I was just a horrible employee, you know, and almost everything I did was just so I could continue to drink or to make myself feel better, you know. And anyway, by the time I wound up back in a detox and was willing to go to meetings and get a sponsor and try and find some recovery and stuff, I was convinced that I was an alcoholic and that my life was unmanageable, you know? And there was nothing you needed to tell me. There was, you know, it's not like I had any of that denial or self-delusion about it left, you know? I think I just experienced so much failure after failure that I internalized it so much that, you know, that I didn't really have any problem with step one. You know, it was like, yeah, I know I'm an alcoholic. And then I think I had a harder time admitting that I was unmanageable, you know, because it was humbling for me to admit that I wasn't qualified to manage my own life. You know, I grew up with this belief that if you have a problem, it's your responsibility to fix it, you know. So I always looked at it like, I have a drinking problem, I need to fix it, I need to work harder, I need to do things that'll stop me from drinking, I need to identify the cause, and I, you know, it was all just, I needed to solve the problem. And when it was like, no, like, you need to turn it over, it was just like, that was the last thing I wanted to do. And it was funny because it was like my life was so horrible and I was doing such a poor job of running my life, but it was like I still didn't want to like take my hands off the steering wheel. You know, it was like I was literally like in a car wreck with my hands in the steering wheel, like I'm not letting go, you know? And it was like, and I remember just talking to my sponsor about it and him just being kind of asking the big question, you know, which for me is, how is that going for you? You know, he would just ask me like, how's that been going for you? And it's like, well, I got fired from my last couple of jobs and a couple of them, I didn't even last a day. You know what I mean? Like I literally did not last a day at a couple of my last jobs. None of my family has talked to me in about a year, you know, like neither of my parents have talked to me in like a year. I haven't had a relationship or a friendship in a year or so. So things are not going good, you know? And when I really looked at it and really kind of thought about it, it was just like, you know, what do I have to lose, you know? And I'm grateful that my sponsor did another thing, which was he asked me at the beginning if I wanted what we have and if I was willing to go to any lengths to get it. And I thought about it, and I said, no. And he said, what? And I said, well, I don't really know if I'm willing to go to any lengths. You know, I was like, that just, I don't know. No, I know. I'm not. And he said, you know, that's fine. You know, but we can't continue the process until you are. You know, so I'll still pick you up for meetings every day. You can still call me. We can still be friends. But we're not going to continue doing the step work until you are. And I am so grateful that he did that. And it's funny because it really could have went either way, because this is what happened. I sat there for the next 2 or 3 weeks and I still went to meetings and I still was doing those things I was doing and I was still sober. But what happened was I was miserable. You know, I was just not having a good time. I was sober with no coping mechanisms, no liquor. And I was just, you know, I just was really not enjoying being sober at all. You know, I just wasn't enjoying anything. And I knew that drinking wouldn't fix it. I was just in this place where I wasn't comfortable being sober. I didn't want to drink, but I did not want to drink, and I just didn't know what to do. And it reached me to reach this point where I called him back, and I was like, I've revised my answer. Like, I am willing to go to any lengths to stay sober, you know? And I'm grateful that I reached that crossroads and reached that kind of like emotional bottom, you know, that caused me to change, because the steps and the instructions in this book for me are a way to change, you know, because I believe that the person I was when I stopped drinking wouldn't have been able to stay sober, wouldn't have been able to show up they do for the life I have today. You know, I believe I needed to change and grow as a person if I wanted to stay happy and sober, and doing the steps and taking the suggestions, I believe this will help me to do that and to continue to do it one day at a time. And anyway, so I kind of touched on step one, you know, and there was a couple things that really got the hooks in when I was doing that that step one. Like I mentioned that I always wanted that like relief, you know, that instant relief that I found from alcohol, and recovery didn't quite do that for me at first. And I guess if I have like one, I don't have many complaints about recovery, but if I were to have one, it would be that sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, you know. And for me, like it was a bit of a slow process, and but there were things that happened that kind of got the hooks in and had me committed to recovery, you know. One of them, like I mentioned, was the way I felt when I was sober. Another one of them was when I did start actually reading the book with my sponsor. I started kind of hearing these phrases and kind of internalizing these feelings that they talk about in the book. You know, one of them was talking about being restless, irritable, and discontent if we can't have a drink, especially when we see other people do that. And for me, I really identified with that, you know, just that uncomfortability I felt in my own skin. And just, you know, I would have never thought to put it that way. You know, I would have never thought to say those words, restless, irritable, and discontent. But when I heard them, there was something inside of me that was just like, that is me without a drink or a drug right now, you know? And it made me interested to continue reading the book and continue to be in recovery, you know? And then I kind of went on to step two and step three. And for me, it was tough. You know, I think I had a harder time with steps two and three than I did with step one, because I had no problem admitting I was an alcoholic, but I did have a hard time turning over my will, but also but also just like admitting, you know, just kind of just, I never had faith. You know, I didn't grow up with any sort of like higher power or God or just, I always thought it was just kind of like some made up stuff. You know what I mean? I thought it was like there was the Tooth Fairy, there was Santa Claus, and there was God, you know, and it was just a thing we do to make people feel better, you know? It was like, yeah, someone died, so we'll make them feel better, so we'll say it was like, there's, you know, there's God and there's meaning and there's, like, I really that was my level of belief when I got sober. And, I did the step three reading, you know, and it was like, there was a couple things in there that really kind of resonate with me now, you know. They talk about the world of the spirit being broad, roomy, all-inclusive. They talk about God not making too hard of terms with those who seek him. They talk about just like that the only thing you need to find a higher power is just a little bit of willingness. You know, that's enough to just make a start. You know, and like that's my experience. Like, you know, it was like I had absolutely no sort of conception of a higher power, and I just had a tiny bit of willingness. And the willingness I did have was only because I was just in so much pain that I was willing to try anything. You know, I was willing to go to any lengths, like I told my sponsor. You know, and he told me that when you wake up in the morning, ask God to keep you sober, and when you go to sleep at night, say thank you. You know, he told me to put my cell phone under my bed, and while I'm down there getting it in the morning, to say a prayer while I'm down there, you know. And praying was an absolutely foreign concept to me. I didn't even know where to start, you know. I didn't even know where to start. And I just started talking, you know. I just started asking God to keep me sober, and I had this experience, you know, I guess you could call it some kind of third step experience, but I had experience where I prayed, and afterwards I felt just, like, calm, you know? And I was one of those people where, like, I got sober, and I was just, like, a raving lunatic, you know? I couldn't sit still, I would have racing thoughts, you know? And I just didn't know how to be comfortable at all. While sober. And then I prayed and I felt calm. You know, I felt comfortable. And I had heard at a meeting before that there was this guy who'd been sober for a while, you know. And he shared that when he was new, that he used to have these recurring thoughts in his head that would say, drink, 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 like as soon as he got sober. And that someone told him the only way that they know to stop that is through prayer. You know? And I heard that when I was in a meeting and then I talked to my sponsor about it, and it gave me a little bit of willingness to try it, you know? Because I believed these people, you know? For me, I don't think I would have gotten involved with this book, and I don't think I would have gotten involved with prayer, with the higher power, with any of these suggestions if it wasn't for those people that gave them to me, you know? Because I believed that they drank like I did. I believed they had the same problem that I had, and I believed that their solution could work for me, you know? I think one of the best gifts you can give someone is just a little bit of hope, you know? Because I was at that point where it was just like, I knew I was an alcoholic, but I kind of had this belief that I was just doomed, you know? I kind of thought that I kind of just had this internal belief like that this is just what people like me from New Jersey do. We just drink, we die, we go to prison, we just... you know, like a lot of my friends, like that's exactly what happened to them. And I kind of had this belief that that would happen to me. And then I met these people who drank like I did and then didn't anymore and had these good lives. And it was like, all right, maybe that can work for me. You know, so that was kind of like my step two experience, you know, coming to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. You know, that happened for me by listening to these people and believing them, you know. And one of the beliefs I had when I got sober was that like, if you're nice to people or kind to people, like you're like a sucker. You know, like kindness was weakness. Like that was like a belief of mine. And then I come to AA and people are just kind and I'm just suspicious. You know, I'm like, what do they want out of me? You know, like what, yeah, I just didn't understand why my sponsor was picking me up every day and taking me to meetings and buying me food and helping me get work, you know? And it was just, I didn't get it at first, you know? And he always said that you'll pay it forward one day, you know? And I got sober, you know, when I was at I got sober at a halfway house in Florida, you know? I didn't have a car, you know, I didn't have a job, I didn't have any family talking to me. I also thought that I had no reason to get sober. You know, I was like, what's the point? You know, I was like, I have literally absolutely nothing going for me. Like, I don't have one single thing to get sober for, you know? But then I met these people that gave me some hope, you know? And it was just like, kept me going, you know? Kept me willing just to stay sober for one more day and just try and do a little better that day, you know? And try and follow their path, you know? That was such a gift to have this path laid down in front of me. You know, this spiritual path, like, the spiritual solution is like the last thing on earth I thought would like be the solution to alcoholism. I was like, it's a physical problem, right? I have this mental obsession. We got to combat that with a physical solution and a mental solution. Like, I need a gym membership, and I need a psychiatrist, like a really good psychiatrist, and a gym membership. You know, spirituality, like, how is that going to solve my problems? But I kept hearing it at meetings. You know, it's a spiritual program, it's a spiritual solution, and it's like, and now I have this belief that it's like, if I live a spiritual life, and I help people, and I do the next right thing, and I constantly think of others, and I do all the other stuff that we talk about in our program, like inventory and make amends and stuff. What happens internally is that I start to feel better. I start to be able to hold my head up and look the world in the eyes. You know, I start to just become this new person, you know, capable of things that the old me wouldn't have been capable of, you know? And thank God for those people that helped me in this journey, that helped me come to believe that it was possible for me, you know? So that was kind of where I was at with step two and step three. 7:30, right, Mark?
Yeah.
I think I got this. So anyway, at this point in my recovery, you know, I'm at about step three. It's funny, you know, I had this experience of tying into a higher power. And then as soon as that happened, I kind of stopped doing the work. I kind of got that thing that I was looking for, that instant relief, you know? Like, I started praying and feeling good, and I was kind of like, all right. Like, I have a power greater than myself. Like, I don't need to... Like I've figured out some sort of solution, and I kind of slacked off on my step four for a little while, you know, and it was funny. Like I also had this belief that I was just like this great guy with an alcohol problem, you know. I believed that like all the problems and all of the shortcomings and all of the defects of character I had were directly tied to my drinking, because like I didn't like fight anyone or steal from anyone or not show up or lie when I was sober. Like all these things happened when I was drunk, so I had this like belief that I was a great guy with an alcohol problem. And then eventually, you know, I do a four step when I have maybe 8 months sober, and I write down on paper like all this, you know, these resentments I have, you know, and I write down who I'm resentful at, and I write down why I'm resentful, and then I write my things that are affected by it, you know, just like in that chart in the book. You know, that was like the template I used to work off of for it after I read it with my sponsor, and he gave me those directions. And, you know, after I'm writing this four step for a while, I'm like, wow, like I have like a lot of resentments, you know? I was like, I am just not nearly as good of a guy as I think I am. Like, I am like really like angry. And I did the other parts of the four step, and then I met up with my sponsor and we did a fifth step, and I was like so excited. You know, I was so excited to do this fifth step because I was still living in a halfway house, and I went to a halfway house that was really good because they made you go to a meeting every day, they made you have a sponsor, and anyway, it was really recovery based, so it was really good for me. And all the guys in the halfway house were like, oh, once you do a fifth step, you will feel so much better. You'll feel like you're floating. You know, and I've never read anything like that in the book. I have read that some people do feel the hand of God working in their life the first time they do a fifth step. I do feel some people say they're able to look the world in the eye after doing a fifth step. But I've never heard anyone float, you know, to my knowledge. But anyway, that's what I heard. And I kind of believe these guys. Like, they seem to be doing pretty well. I was doing, like, all right. And I was ready to just get it all out. Because, like, I wrote this whole four-step. And I remember it took a long time. You know, I sat with my sponsor for maybe 6 hours and I told him all the people I was resentful at. I told him, and we talked about my part in all of them too. That was fun. And we looked at some of the patterns. It was like, wow, like this is exactly the same one 5 times in a row. You know, I'm mad at this guy and it's because of money. You know? And it was like, I was able to kind of realize at least that I have some patterns and some stuff I have to work on. And then I do the whole thing with them, and then afterwards, I remember he said, go home and do an hour of meditation. I said, okay. And we read the paragraph about it, and I, you know, and reflect on if there's anything that I've left off or anything that I've skimped on, because this is the foundation for my recovery, you know. Everything that you do is the foundation for your recovery, and if you're not honest and if you miss stuff, you just, like he told me at the beginning, you just won't get anything out of it, you know? And I did, and I thought, you know, I don't think there's anything I left out on, but I did remember feeling that I felt terrible. I was like, man, I thought I was going to feel good after this. I felt felt horrible. I was like, I'm going to like yell at these guys who said I was going to be floating. I was like, I just feel like a horrible person, you know, because just talking about all my resentments and people and this stuff for 6 hours. I was just like, I just don't feel good about myself at all. This illusion that I had that I was a great guy was just shattered. You know what I mean? But what I did have was I had an overwhelming sense of responsibility. I had this deep internal feeling that although I've fallen short in pretty much every aspect of my life so far, I now have the opportunity to not repeat these mistakes, you know? And I felt an overwhelming sense of like, of a chance to do better, you know? And I talk about this a lot to people who are in recovery, that being sober doesn't give you like an amazing life necessarily. It doesn't give you everything you thought you had. What being sober gives you is a chance. You know, a chance to show up, a chance to grow, a chance to work on yourself. Because like, if I'm not sober, I am not even in the race. I'm not even gonna show up. You know, I'm probably going to RSVP and promise you 5 times I'm going to show up. But the thing is, when I start drinking, you know, however much and however well-intentioned, however much I promise, I just don't show up. You know, so being sober, I get a chance. You know, I get a chance to get out of my own way. You know, that's what the third step was for me. Getting out of my own way, you know, was like, I remember, just to backtrack a little bit, when I was doing the third step, it was like, how do I possibly do God's will? You know, how is the actual like process? Like, I turn over my will and my life to the care of God as I understood him, you know? And it was like, it's like, what if I fall short? And it was like, you're gonna fall short, you know? But, your job is just to do the best you can, you know, to turn your will over on a daily basis and to continue to do the process of recovery, you know? That was like what it was explained to me at the time, you know? And it's something I've done almost every day in my recovery, you know? When I wake up, the first thing I do is I ask God to keep me sober, you know? I've had a crazy life since I've been sober, a crazy life that I never expected since I've been sober. And since I've been sober, I've had 2 kids completely sober. You know, they're 3 and 4 and a half now. And when they would, like, wake up crying, like, I would, like, pray before I would, like, do their diapers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was that important to me. Like, I need to be spiritually tuned in, or I am just not showing up the best way I can, you know? So I did a step 3 and a step 4 and a step 5. And my life's starting to change a little bit, you know? I'm starting to get a little bit of emotion back. I'm starting to laugh a little bit. I'm starting to just enjoy life a little bit, you know? And at this point, I've got, it's like my first year of sobriety, you know? And I'm working at Macy's, you know? I'm like a cashier at Macy's. I remember I was very happy to get that job because I was like working out in the sun in Florida. And I was taking 2 buses to get to Macy's too. And oh my God, when it was in the summer, I would go out to that bus stop, I would sweat through all my dress clothes before the bus would even get there. Then I would take it, a 15-minute bus ride, and then I would take the bus home and I'd walk from the bus stop to the meeting, you know? And I guess my point in saying that is that it was tough, you know? It was tough, but it was an experience that I'm so grateful for, you know? Because I think if I just I had everything I ever wanted and I had all this stuff right away, I don't think I would have appreciated or just had the same experience I did, you know? And I used to think people were crazy when they would say stuff like, you know, you're exactly where you're supposed to be, or everything happens for a reason, or all this stuff, you know, and I never had a belief that I was where I was supposed to be until I got sober, until I got turned into the spiritual life, you know? And I believe that the program is maybe like 80% an inside job, you know? It's like prayer, meditation, admit we're an alcoholic, inventory, all this stuff we do, like a lot of it is just to fix the way you are internally, you know? It's and doesn't affect other people. I mean, really only like the 12-step work and the amends and stuff is like directly, you do it directly with other people. You know, obviously the meetings and the fellowship and that side of the triangle you do. But, you know, I'm so grateful for that opportunity to change the person I was, you know? Because I remember I never had any sort of gratitude or just appreciation for life, you know? I didn't look at life like it was like a gift, you know? I looked at it like it was a burden, you know? I would wake up and I would just be waiting for something to go wrong, you know? I just didn't have any sort of like appreciation for life or joy for life, you know? So when I went through the step work and I went through this process of growing, you know, of tapping into a higher power with step three, with doing an inventory with step four, it was like I had this opportunity to be a person that I always had the potential to be, but never could actually realize that. You know, when I worked in the machine shops, people would always tell me, Ryan, you're very talented, but you just, you know, you have so much potential, but you just can't show up consistently. You know, you're always rushing and you're never here. You know, whereas like when I was in school, it was like, Ryan, you have so much potential, you know. But it was like, I never realized it because I always got in my own way because I wanted things that would make me feel a little bit more comfortable, you know? Whether that was drinking, whether that was surrounding myself with people, it was like whatever I can do to make myself feel better, and it doesn't really matter if it's stealing from tomorrow, you know? I always would take it, you know? So, so when I would look back, you know, it would be, I would just have so much gratitude for the life I have today and just for those, for the way I've grown internally, you know, and I've had so many experiences, you know, like I've only really touched on my first year of sobriety. You know, I've been sober since May 20th of 2011. You know, so it's just 12 and a half years, you know, and I never thought this life was possible for me, you know. I really can't say that enough, you know. Well, with that being said, I think I have reached my limit of how much I can talk. Yes. And I think rather than make you guys listen to me for another 10 minutes, I think I will open it up for sharing now, and I think I will I think I will try to plan my talk for next week a little more. It's funny, actually, I have a whole notebook of page numbers and things I want to talk about, and obviously I come up here and just, I'm like, yeah, let me just wing it, because that's just, you know, that's just essentially who I am. And that is just fine, you know, because I do have this belief that, you know, that I get up here and I say whatever I'm supposed to say, you know. My goal is to be up here, you know, and I fully believe that my primary purpose is to stay sober and to help another alcoholic achieve sobriety, you know. So once again, thank you for the opportunity to talk, and I look forward to next week. And with that, I'll open up to you guys. Is that cool?